Welcome to Zichud Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're in Maseches Erev and Daf Gimel. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav stated on Daf Beis Amud Aleph that the Chachamim who hold that the beam of a Mavui may not be higher than 20 amos derive the ruling from the height of the entrance of the Heichal, which was 20 amos. On today's Daf, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak disagrees and says that the reason the Chachamim limit a Korah's height to 20 amos is Mishum Hekera, to serve as a reminder to differentiate between a Mavui and Rishus Rabim. Rashi explains that people will see it and know that the Rabban required it, and they will not come to confuse the Mavui with the Rishus Rabim. It also explains why the Rabban held that in a Maltra, a prominence above 20 Amos is permitted, since people will notice the beam because of it. Point number two, the Gemara asks what the halacha is if part of the Korah is within 20 Amos of the ground, and the top part of the Korah is above 20 Amos. Similarly, what's the halacha if part of the Schach of a Sukkah is within 20 Amos, and part of the Schach is above 20 Amos? So Rabbi answered, "B'mabui kasher b'sukkah pasul." The korah of the mabui is valid, and the sukkah is pasul. Rabbi from the town of Parzak explained the difference between the korah and the sukkah. Technically, the sukkah should be valid if the lower part of the schach is within 20 amos, except that since the sukkah is meant for an individual, the person sitting in the sukkah will not be mindful and notice if some of the lower schach is removed, and thereby make the sukkah pasul. In the case of a mabui, however, since it's meant for the public, they will remind each other to fix it if the lower part of the korah disintegrates. Ravina said that Rabba was machim by the sukkah since it's a deraisa, and lenient with the mabui since it's a derabbanan. The Gemara brings an alternative version of Rabba in which he rules, b'mabui pasul, b'sukkah kashera. The korah of the mabui is pasul and the sukkah is valid, with explanations for Rabba's rationale. And point number three, Rabbi said in the name of Rav Nachman, amas sukkah v'amas mabui ba'amah bas chamisha, the ama unit mentioned in the laws of sukkah and the mabui is a 5 tefachim amma unit. And amas kalayim ba amma bas shisha. And the amma unit mentioned, the laws of kalayim, is 6 tefachim. Rashi explains that Rav Nachman is stating that the amma unit that will result in the chumrah is always used. This must be Rav Nachman's intent. Otherwise, how would he apply different measures when the Mishnah doesn't indicate which measure should be used? Rav has said in the name of Rav Nachman that all amma units are 6 tefachim. Ela halu sochakos v'alu atzevos. The amos for kalim are loose amos, meaning measured with a loose fist, and the amos for a sukkah and a mavi are measured with tight amos, meaning measured with a tight fist. Tight fists are called atzevos, sad, resembling the compressed lips of someone who is sad. Loose fists are called sochakos, happy, resembling the slightly parted lips of one who smiles. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, Rav stated on Daf Beis Amud Aleph that the Chachamim will hold that the beam of a mavi may not be higher than 20 amos, derived the ruling from the height of the entrance into the Heichal, which was 20 amos. On today's Daf, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak disagrees and says that the reason the Chachamim limit a Korah's height to 20 Amos is Mishum Hakera, to serve as a reminder to differentiate between a Mavui and a Rishus Rabim. And Rashi explains that people will see it and know that the Rabban required it, and they'll not come to confuse the Mavui with the Rishus Rabim. It also explains why the Rabban held that in a Maltra, a prominence above 20 Amos is permitted, since people will notice the beam because of it. Point number two, the Gemara asks what the halacha is if part of the korah is within 20 amos in the ground, and the top part of the korah is above 20 amos. Similarly, what is the halacha if part of the schach of a sukkah is within 20 amos, and part of the schach is above 20 amos? So Rabbi answered, "B'mavui kasher b'sukkah pasul." The korah of the mavui is valid, and the sukkah is pasul. Rabbi from the town of Barzaki explained the difference between the korah and the sukkah. Technically, the sukkah should be valid if the lower part of the schach is within 20 amos, except that since the sukkah is meant for an individual, the person sitting in the sukkah will not be mindful and notice if some of the lower schach is removed, and thereby make the sukkah pasul. In the case of a mabui, however, since it's meant for the public, they will remind each other to fix it if the lower part of the korah disintegrates. Ravina said the Rabbah was machimber by the sukkah, since it's a deraisa, and lenient with the mabui, since it's a derabban. And Gemara brings an alternative version of Rabbah in which he rules, b'mabui pasul b'sukkah kashera, the korah of the mabui is pasul and the sukkah is valid, with explanations for Rabba's rationale. And point number three, Abai said in the name of Rav Nachman, Amas Sukkah, Amas Mabui, Ba'amah Bas Chamisha. The Amma unit mentioned in the laws of Sukkah and Mabui is a 5 Tfachim Amma unit, and Amas Kalayim, Ba'amah Bas Shisha. The Amma unit mentioned in the laws of Kalayim is 6 Tfachim. Rashi explains that Rav Nachman is stating that the Amma unit that will result in a Chumrah is always used. This must be Rav Nachman's intent, otherwise, how would he apply different measures when the Mishnah doesn't indicate which measure should be used? Rav said in the name of Rav Nachman that all amma units are 6 tefachim. El ha'u sochakos v'ha'u atzevos. The amos for kalayim are loose amos, meaning measured with a loose fist, and the amos for a sukkah and a mabui are measured with tight amos, meaning measured with a tight fist. Tight fists are called atzevos, sad, resembling the compressed lips of someone who is sad, and loose fists are called sochakos, happy, resembling the slightly parted lips of one who smiles. So in a nutshell, the three key words are heker, part above, amma. Heker, part above, amma. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Daf Gimel, which is a gemal, a camel. So here goes. The distracted camel, looking at the prominent heker at the Mabui entrance, smashed into a sukkah with some schach above 20 amos that was full of unhappy, tight-fisted guests debating the size of an amma. Once again, in slow motion. The distracted camel, that must be more on Daf Gimel. The distracted camel, looking at the prominent heker at the Mabui entrance, which reminds us of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who holds that the Chachamim's reason for limiting a kor to 20 amos is Mishum Hekera. So the distracted camel looking at the prominent heker at the Mabui entrance smashed into a sukkah with some schach above 20 amos, which reminds us that there were two reasons given why Rabba holds that a Mabui with a kor that is partially above 20 amos is valid, but a sukkah with schach partially above 20 amos is pasul. Really, the sukkah should be kasher, except that since the sukkah is meant for an individual, the person sitting in the sukkah will not be mindful and notice that some of the word schach is removed, and thereby make the sukkah pasul. In the case of the Mabui, however, since it's meant for the public, they'll remind each other to fix it if the lower part of the korah disintegrates. Rabina said the Rabba was machmir by the sukkah since it's the raisa, and lenient with the Mabui since it's the rabban. So the distracted camel looking at the prominent heker at the Mabui entrance smashed into a sukkah with some schach above 20 amos that was full of unhappy, tight-fisted guests debating the size of an amma. Which reminds us of the machlokes of the size of an amma for a sukkah Mabui and Kalayim, whether it's 5 tzvachim or 6 tzvachim, or 6 tzvachim that are either sachakos or atsevos. So once again, the distracted camel looking at the prominent heker at the Mabui entrance smashed into a sukkah with some schach above 20 amos that was full of unhappy, tight-fisted guests debating the size of an amma. Now it's time for a 4 blah bat chazara. Daf kufnun hei. So the simple kufnun hei is a reed. So here goes. After using his reed, that must mean run daf kufnun hei. After using his reed to scatter unbundled straw in front of the animals, which reminds us, based on the next mission, there's malchokas and a rhyme regarding food preparation for animals. Rav Huna holds that one may exert himself to improve an existing food, such as untying bundles of straw and scattering them in front of the animal, but one may not make a non-food item, such as cedar boughs, which are normally used as fuel, and give it the status of food by untying them and scattering them in front of an animal. Rav Yudah holds that one may make an animal food edible for an animal, such as untying bundles of straw, since before it's untied it cannot be eaten, but one cannot exert himself for the mere enhancement of animal food, such as scattering the bundles, which makes them more appetizing. Rashi explains that when the straw is packed together, it becomes warm and doesn't release much of a scent. As a result, the animals do not find it appealing. So after using his reed to scatter unbundled straw in front of the animals, Farmer John used it to cram food down his calves' throats, which reminds us the next mission discusses the feeding of animals and states, Ein ma'amirin es ha'agalim, one may not fatten calves of a malitin, but one may put food down their throats. This is Malchokas HaMarayim on how to define these terms. Rav Yudah says, Hamra'a l'makam she'ini yachol alachzir. Fattening denotes putting the food in an area in the animal's throat that is so far back that the animal cannot bring the food back. Lata l'makam she'yachol alachzir. Putting food down their throats denotes placing the food in the throat where the animal can still bring it up. Rav Chisda says that both terms denote placing the food so far back that the animal can no longer bring it up. The difference is that hamra'a b'kli. Fattening refers to using an implement, which Rashi defines as a spoon, which the Mishnah prohibits. And halata b'yad, putting the food down their throats, refers to when this is done by hand, which the Mishnah permits. So after using his reed to scatter unbundled straw in front of the animals, Farmer John used it to cram food down his calves' throats, which didn't look very appealing to the stray dog, hoping for a chunk of meat. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yon expounded at the entrance of the Nasi's palace, what's the meaning of the pasuk, Yodei Tzadik Din Dalim? The righteous one knows the suffering of the poor. Yodei Kosh Baruch Hu B'kelev Shemozono Sab Mu'atim. Kosh Baruch Hu knows that a dog's food is typically meager. Laficha Shoa Achil Asob B'me'av Shloshi Yami. He therefore decreed that a dog's food should linger in its belly for 3 days. Rav Hamnuna said that we learn from this that it's proper to throw a chunk of meat to a stray dog. Daf Kufnun Vav. So the symbol Kufnun Vav is a canoe. So here goes. When a baby was born on the canoe trip, that must mean one Daf Kufnun Vav. When a baby was born on the canoe trip Sunday during the hour of Mars, which reminds us, it was written in Yeshua ben Levi's ledger how a person's nature is determined based on the day of the week he was born. For example, one born on Sunday will be a man of one nature without one trace of any other nature in him. Rav Ashi says that this means that the person's nature will be either all good without a trace of bad or all bad without a trace of good. The Gemara explains that the reason a person born on Sunday will tend to extremes is because the Ibru Bei Or V'Choshech, on Sunday, the first day of creation, light and darkness were created. Rabbi Chinina said to the Talmidim who read the ledger, they should go and tell Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, "Mazel Yom Gorim El Mazel Shal Gorim." It's not the celestial sign of the day that influences a man's nature. Rather, it's a celestial sign that dominates at the hour of one's birth. For example, one born during the hour of Mars will be a spiller of blood. Rabbi Ashi says that he's destined to either be a bloodletter, thief, shochet, or moel. So when a baby was born on the canoe trip Sunday during the hour of Mars, to the man who's davening finally changes mazal, which reminds Rabbi Chanina holds that mazal determines one's level of intelligence and wealth, and that yesh mazal Yisrael, mazal applies to Yisrael, which Rashi explains to mean that even tefillah and tzedakah cannot change it. Rabbi Yochanan holds ein mazal Yisrael, the celestial signs hold no sway over Yisrael, which Rashi explains to mean that tefillah and tzedakah can change one's mazal. The Machlokes only refers to individuals, as they both agree on a national level, ein mazal Yisrael. And Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rav, brings a proof that ein mazal Yisrael from when Avram questioned who was going to inherit him, given that he knew astrologically that he was not destined to have a son. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Tzemi is tekenino shelcha she'ein mazal Yisrael. Go outside of your astrology, but the celestial signs hold no sway over Yisrael. So when a baby was born on the canoe trip Sunday during the hour of Mars, to the man whose davening finally changes mazal, everybody sat down for a group meal of bread, and no one was embarrassed. Which reminds us that the Gemara brings a number of incidents that illustrate ein mazal Yisrael. In one case, Avlate, a non-Jewish astrologer, had said a certain man was going to die, and Shmuel said if the man was Jewish, he would live. When the man returned alive, Avlate threw off the man's pack of reeds and found a snake cut in pieces. Shmuel asked the man what he had done to make him deserving to be spared from death. The man explained that he saved the man who forgot to bring bread to a group meal from embarrassment by pretending to take bread from him. Shmuel told him that he did a mitzvah and expounded that tzedakah tatzum amavis, and charity saves from death. V'loma misa mishuna, not just from an unusual death, elma misa atzma, but even from death itself. Daf Kufnun Zayin. So the symbol of Kufnun Zayin is ice cream cones. So here goes. Ice cream cones, that must mean we're on Daf Kufnun Zayin. Ice cream cones are the Hilchas Muxasim, which reminds the Gemara brings a Malchukas Marayim between Rav Akum and Ravina regarding the final halacha muksa. One said, Bechol Shabbos Kula, halacha Rabbi Shimon Labarba muksa machmas mius. Regarding all the Hilchas Shabbos, the law is like Rabbi Shimon, that there's no prohibition of muksa, except in regard to muksa due to repugnance, such as using a ner yashan, a used clay lamp. The other said, But muksa machmas mius, nami halacha Rabbi Shimon Labarba muksa machmas iser. Even in regard to muksa due to repugnance, the law is like Rabbi Shimon. The halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Shimon only in regard to muksa due to prohibition, such as a lamp in which a flame had been lit on Shabbos. Everyone agrees, though, that muksa makrins chesro and kis afil Rabbi Shimon moda. With regard to something that is muksa for fear of monetary loss, even Rabbi Shimon concedes that it is muksa. Examples are meser agadav yasid shel mechresha, a large saw and a plow blade. So ice cream cones at Hilchas Muksasim were savored by dieting Talmidim released from their vows on Shabbos. Which reminds us, the last mission of the Masechta states, Mafirin Nedarim B'Shabbos, we may annul vows on Shabbos, which Rashi explains is referring to a husband annulling his wife's vow. V'Nishal Nedarim She'anu Atzorach HaShabbos, and we may seek release from vows from a Chacham made to abstain from things that are necessary for Shabbos. Rashi provides the example of one who makes a neder not to eat on Shabbos. Now the Gemara asks, if the mission permits one to seek release from Nedarim, K'shalol Hayol Panai, in a case where he had no opportunity to do so before Shabbos, Odilma afil hayol panai, or does it refer even to a case in which he did have an opportunity to do so before Shabbos? A proof is brought from an incident in which the Rabban released Rav Zutra, the son of Rav Zera, from a neder, even though he had the opportunity to seek release from it before Shabbos. So ice cream cones at the Hilchas Muksasim were savored by dieting Talmidim, released from their vows on Shabbos, oblivious that right outside in the narrow alley, a corpse was found. Which reminds us, the Mishnah brought an incident in which they shuttered a window with a tapiach, an earthenware flask, and they tied an earthenware vessel with a strand of reedgrass in order to determine whether or not there was an opening the size of a tefach in a certain barrel. The Mishnah concludes that we learn from this incident, pokeking, modedin, bakoshim, b'shabbos. We may shutter, measure, and tie on Shabbos. But Yehuda said in the name of Rav that the incident involved the corpse in a narrow alley where a cracked barrel rested upon the two houses sheltering the corpse, and before the person died, they had shuttered the window with a flask to prevent Tumah from entering the house. They then tied the earthenware vessel with a strand of reedgrass to see if they could pass it through the crack in the barrel to see if there was a tefach-sized hole in it. If the hole was the size of a tefach, then the tumah would escape through the crack and the barrel would not serve as a roof of an oel. This would permit them to take out the flask from the window since the tumah would not spread into the houses. Daf Beis in Erevin. So the symbol for Daf Beis is a house. So the house of prayer, house, that must mean we're on Daf Beis. The house of prayer with crossbeams lowered to 20 amos high, which reminds us, the opening Mishnah states that if a mavui has a korah, a crossbeam placed at the entrance, higher than 20 amos, the korah must be lowered. Rav Yehuda says it doesn't need to be lowered. But Yehuda said the name of Rav, Chachamim u'madua el mepiskul shel heichol. The Chachamim derived their ruling from the entrance of the heichol, and Rav Yehuda olamde el mepiskul shel ulam. Rav Yehuda derived his ruling from the entranceway of the antechamber, as it stated in the Mishnah Midos, piskul shel heichol gavu esrim amma v'rachva esr amos. The entranceway of the heichol is 20 amos high and 10 amos wide, v'shel ulam gavu arbim amma v'rachva esrim. And the entranceway to the antechamber was 40 amos high and 20 amos wide. So the house of prayer, with crossbeams lowered to 20 amos high, was called Beis Mishkan HaMikdash, which reminds us, the Gemara wanted to elaborate how both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda derived their ruins from the same pasuk, v'shchato pesach ohel moed, and he shall slaughter the offering at the entrance way of the ohel moed. The Gemara questions how the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda can base their dispute on a pasuk referring to the ohel moed, whose entrance way was only 10 amos high, and answers, ashkhan mishkan de'ikri mikdash, v'mikdash de'ikri mishkan. We find in the Torah that the Mishkan is sometimes called the Mikdash, and sometimes the Mikdash is called the Mishkan, as it says in the Pasuk, V'asili Mikdash v'shachanti besocham, and they shall make for me a Mikdash, and I will dwell in their midst. Here we see that the Mishkan is sometimes called the Mikdash. Therefore, the Pasuk, which the Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda based the ruling on, can be referring to the entranceway of the base of Mikdash, which is higher than 10 amos. So the house of prayer with crossbeams lowered to 20 amos high was called Beis Mishkan HaMikdash, and featured elegant ornamental doors made merely to provide a sense of privacy. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks that if the Chachamim derived their ruling from the entranceway to the Heichol, then they should require doors like the Heichol had. Yet we know in a later Mishnah that Hekshir Mabui, the adjustment of a Mabui, according to Beis Shammai, requires a Lechi and a Kor. And according to Beis Hillel, a Lechi or a Kor. Neither one requires a door. The Gemara answers, the also says Heichol etznius ba'amahu davinan. The doors of the Heichol were made merely for privacy, which means to lend a sense of dignity to the Avodah. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos and Shabbos. Number 1. Which daf do we know that one can be released from vows on Shabbos if it's relevant to Shabbos? That's on daf Kuf Nun Zayin. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we have a Malchokas im Yesh Mazel Yisrael? That's on daf Kuf Nun Vav. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn how a Hesped's impact indicates whether the mace is destined for Olam Haba? That's on daf Kufnun Gimbal. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we have a Malkokas regarding the size of an Amma for a Mabui Sukkah climb? That's on daf Daf Gimbal and Erevin. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we have a Malkokas regarding whether a Kor above 20 Amos needs to be lowered? That's on daf Beis and Erevin. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that the doors of the Heichol were for Tznias purposes? That's on daf Beis and Erevin. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn Rabban Gamliel holds that Tzar Baal Chaim is a Derabbanan? That's on daf Kufnun Dalet. Good. Number 8. Which daf do you learn that dog's food is typically meager, therefore Kosh Baruch Hu made it that food lingers in their bellies for 3 days? That's on daf Kufnun Hey. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we have the summation of Hilchas Muksa? That's on daf Kufnun Zayin. Good. And finally, number 10. Which daf do we learn what the halach is if part of a korah or part of schach is higher than 20 amos? That's on daf Gimel and Erevin. Good, and now we go to the bonus questions. Number 1. Which daf do we learn what the pasuk of the Zayin meaning is coming to teach us? That's on daf Mem Aleph and Brachos. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn is whether Shema is a deraiser or a derabbanan? That's on daf Chaf Aleph and Brachos. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn what the din is if a kira flared up after Ketuma? That's on daf Lamed Zayin and Shabbos. Excellent. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu. Wishing you a great day and great learning.